Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, it's that time on a Wednesday evening at the 8 to 9 p.m. hour. You've reached the Blog Talk Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com/. It's the one, the only, the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the person that's normally referred to as the Sun, also known as Citizen Payne. And the host of our show, Kay Thompson, is going to be calling in on her little mic thing. We're doing all kind of different things nowadays and see if my mom could call through on her stuff. But this is Wednesday, the 11th of April. And there we go. There you go. Call in. I'm going to open up your mic, Ma, so you can say hello to the people. Go ahead and say something.
There you go.
Okay.
Something.
Hello, everyone.
I wanted to start with, and Eric, are you
you have something that we're going to give also an update on Sophia. Sophia, where is Sophia's story? She is the lady who wrote the Matrix movie. We talked about that last week. Well, we have an update on Sophia, and we are going to try to get to her for a few minutes and let her give us an update on, you know, that problem that she had, you know, out there in California. The movie made Matrix. I don't know how many people remember that. What was that movie done?
Everybody remembers the Matrix series.
And what about the Matrix series? The Matrix series.
That's because
she's
anyway,
so
double
here.
Anyway,
so we're going to talk to her about that, and she will let us know more. I want to also mention, too, that we're going to be talking to Larry Hand. You know, we're scheduling Larry Hand. So many of you coming downtown Newark, you know, Newark has been, we have a lot of colleges downtown Newark, you know, and we have the City Hall also and a few other places which we're going to be talking about. Essex County College, City Hall, university branches of, and et cetera, et cetera. But Larry Hayden is the person who stands out in front of, what is it, City Hall, in front of the Lincoln statue out there.
Yeah.
And he urges people to remember activism. You know, he is the one, and he will be out there, you know, this Wednesday. Wednesday, he's there every day, every single day. I don't know how he does it, but we're going to be talking to Larry because he's scheduled for sometime next week. So that's sort of like a short update on what's going on. By the way, my voice is like this because I had a very bad cold, trying to get rid of it. I'm going to have to spend some time in the island. Ah, what a life. What?
Okay. All right. Let's open up this microphone to bring in our co-host, Mr. Byron Saunders. Hello, Byron. How you doing, brother?
Well, it's I'm always wishing for springtime in New York, but it seems to never come. You know, we just drop in on summer so that, Kay, the reason why you have that cold is because we're looking for the flowers and the birds and the bees and so drink lots of hot tea. And, you know, we can get you well. I hear that cold in your voice. So other than that, all is well.
Hachi and also in the island, Byron. Come on.
That's right. Exactly. Along with some rum. Yes, along with some rum. Now, if you put some rum in there, that hot toddy will help kick that out.
I never knew about rum. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So, Byron, what's going on these days?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've got a busy schedule. Yeah, you know, but I've got two plays that I'm actually engaged in. One is a musical on the life of Bojangles that James Prez Carter has written, and we actually have a free showcase reading of it on Sunday at in Harlem at Imagination Raw Space. At 121st and St. Nick, 121st and Adam Clayton Powell. And so it's free at 2 o'clock. The music is wonderful, Eric and Kay. Tap dancing, got a great cast. So I'm real happy about that. And then I got another play. I have another play that I'm actually directing that Yvette Heiliger wrote. It's having a reading that Voza Rivers is producing on the 23rd of April, 7:30 at the Harlem Hospital, 135th and Lenox Avenue, and that's free to the public. It's right after the Harlem Arts Alliance meeting, so that's 7:30 on Sunday, and Yvette Heiliger has written a very sensitive play back in 1990 when she wrote it. It's about incest and child abuse. And, you know, this is the month where we are handling and dealing with those kinds of issues in our community. And the play is featuring a really good cast. And just to mention, when I ran the Frank Silvera Writers Workshop, when I directed this piece in 1990, because that's when we did it at the workshop, I had a young actress who was playing the young victim a 9-year-old. And this now, and at that time, the actress was an 11-year-old Kerry Washington. So it's amazing that we come this far, and now we're trying to get this show remounted. But if you really want to come and have a conversation and see something really extraordinary, it's called Father's Day. It deals with a very sensitive issue about incest and child abuse. It's something we don't talk about in our community a lot, but it's trying to address some of the issues that are real. How do we solve some of these problems that we are confronted with? And thank goodness for our cultural arts community and our writers and our actors and actresses. They really are trying to deal with some of the issues that you don't see on television, you don't see in the movies, but you can see them in live theater. So I encourage you all to come on out and see that. So my schedule's been real busy, y'all.
Yeah, that sounds like you got a heavy load, Byron.
Yeah.
We were having a little difficulty trying to set up a couple of things there with our phones and trying some new microphone things. I think this might be Sophia on the line.
Okay.
702 number. I'm going to open the mic. Sophia Stewart, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi. Hello. How you guys doing? Been listening to you.
How you doing? This is Eric Payne. How you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing well, Eric. Thank you.
And we also have Byron Saunders, our co-host, one of our co-hosts.
Good to have you on board, Sophia.
All right, thank you, Byron.
No problem.
Sophia, you want to give us an update on the, I mean, as everybody knows, the backstory of you is that you are the originator, the creator of the Matrix idea and such a whole storyline, and, you know, Hollywood being what it is, they stole it. I mean,
well,
they
stole my script in the book. I mean, it's easy to adapt any, you know, source material to the screen, but these people never had any copyrights, and they never had any source work. And, again, like I said, my work was copyrighted. This all happened while I was at SC. I have a degree in journalism, a double major in law and psychology. I actually have a gift in law, so it's, you know, also study law. But I won my second court case September the 25th, 2014, 4 years ago. And they've been keeping nothing but smears, lies, and innuendos on the Internet to keep the people from finding out the truth. They've been doing a cover-up. Because you guys didn't even know I won. 4 media outlets were there. Were you guys aware of that? 4 media outlets covered the court trial.
Your court trial. No,
right, and they didn't report
it
to you guys.
That's right. We weren't really aware. I mean, you know, that you got that decision, and the general public certainly wasn't aware that a sister was responsible for the ideas behind the Matrix, you know. As we talked about before in previous interviews with us when we've had you on the air in the past, you know, and as we mentioned that, you know, to me, I could tell, I don't know if I'll just bring it back up to that I had mentioned before that some of the references in the course of the storyline of the Matrix and just the whole concept and, you know, the images of the Morpheus character, Fishburne, and kind of the concepts of some of the things and the depictions of some of the people seemed to have a consciousness that was more than just from a European perspective. And so it that always struck me, like, wow, these guys are really enlightened to have all this type of stuff here, you know, have a black woman representing God in their storyline and all this stuff. And lo and behold, they weren't that enlightened at all. It was a black woman who created the original idea and story of the Matrix. So it's not surprising that they kind of changed the history of it as they do for so many things. Go ahead.
You know that what I was going to say. We know how they changed. We had the Black House, and we had 7 black presidents before Obama, George Washington wasn't the first president. He was the first white president. And we had a black house, and then all of a sudden when it got burned down, we had the White House when the new house was built. We had Black Wall Street, and then it's White Wall Street. And then we had brown and black bread, and then it became white bread. And then we had brown sugar, white sugar. And we had brown rice, white rice. And so now, I mean,
there
no way in the world people couldn't recognize that Matrix was black. These are the first black superheroes all in the movie, and the white guys are the bad guys. I mean, come on. It wasn't Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Iron Man, and Rocky saving the world. That was in Star Wars. And they got mad when Disney put in a black superhero alongside of them, because all white science fiction has only white man saving the world. And it doesn't have any black people with an equal role as a superhero. If they have any black people at all, it's one or two, and they die out the first 10 minutes of the movie, so you won't even know they were in the movie if you missed the introduction. So how can you miss all of these black people in The Matrix?
Right. That's true. Especially when the one scene where they're putting Neo back together almost, and then you have the three guys that were kind of doing the operating were black characters. I thought that was an interesting image on the screen when you saw Morpheus and the other two brothers doing the acupuncture and doing just the whole kind of operation there over Neo's character. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, but we got Hank. We have Tank. We have Morpheus. We have Apoc. We have the Oracle. Mm-hmm. We have the Jada Pickett, Niobe. We have all of these. Roy Jones was in there. You know, the counselors were black. I mean, and then all the people during the orgies or whatever they were doing. They're all these black people. The raves, or whatever you want to call it. But no one had ever seen all these black people that they could identify on the screen until you saw the Black Panther movie. That's the second black movie with black people can identify with. But Matrix came first.
So what's the update now? There have been some updates from what my mother was telling me and my sister were telling me with your case. What do you want to share that with folks about what that is?
I want people to know the update. The update is the fourth installment has been out since 2010. Matrix 4.
The what?
Matrix 4 the book has been out and selling around the world for 7 years. This year, 2018, is the eighth year. It's called Matrix 4, Cracking the Genetic Codes. It's a continuation of The Matrix. I made 2 and 3 a dream, so Neo and Trinity never died. Now, you can't kill out my work because I'm the creator and the writer of it and the owner. And so I continued the work. So Matrix fans, 3 to 4 billion fans around the world, continue to enjoy The Matrix. Now, the rest of the people haven't caught up because there's 380 million people in America. But I think outside of the country, outside of America, the foreign countries and people know more about The Matrix than the people inside of America. Sad to say, but the people in America has been kind of duped. Maybe a couple of million people know that I won and they're reading Matrix 4 book and that they know about the continuation. They know, that Matrix is going to be on the screen soon, that people are vying for it. Warner Brothers offered me $30 million for the script, and this was in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
2016. One of those years, yes. Right after I
So won. This is you've written Matrix 4 already, the book version of Matrix 4?
Yeah, but it's written in movie style because that's what I do, movies. I went to FC.
Right.
I have
so
a degree
you, so you've
in
written
journalism.
Screenplay. You've written, I know that. You've written the Matrix 4 screenplay already.
Right. I formatted it in a screenplay format because my fans, they're big movie buffs, So therefore, when they look and read it, they can visualize the movie. They say they can actually see the movie. Now, this is not the shooting script, but it is formatted in script form because lots of people don't like to read. But if they're going to get a visual and it's going to read like a movie, then that brings them on in droves.
Right,
and
right.
I own the copyrights to all of the derivatives. Remember the derivatives, the Matrix movies,
right. Yes.
The Terminator
yep.
movies, Enter the Matrix,
right.
Anti-Matrix. Well, I have the copyrights to all of that. The government, the Library of Congress, gave me the copyrights to the derivatives. It's just like this. Somebody comes into the hospital and steals your children. And they give them a different name or put some different clothes on them. Well, who cares?
Right, sure.
The only person that can
yeah,
give
all...
them a birth certificate is me. I'm the only one that can.
Right,
so
right,
I'm the only person
right. pretty,
that can receive the copyright.
We're pretty familiar with the process and how we're pretty familiar with how that all works. It's just that so the Matrix 4 version is out in script version now that people can go and buy it and read it. So you're saying it's been out since 2015, correctly?
No,
and,
2010. It's been out for 7 years, 2010.
So
you can Google it right now on Amazon.com. If you got a smartphone, you can go to Amazon.com
mm-hmm.
right now,
right,
put in
yep.
Sophia Stewart's
yep.
book, and it'll pop up right on the screen and my website.
Right, got it. Yep.
MatrixTerminator.com website. You can see the reviews. You can see the copyrights in the book. You can see the reviews
right.
on both the Third Eye Matrix book and Matrix 4 book.
Right, right. What do you think, Deb?
Yeah.
Do you have any questions you want to
yeah,
ask?
Sophia, I'm on your webpage, your
Sophia.
Site, and I see the advertisement for Matrix 4 movie coming soon, and of course your book is right up underneath that. The Matrix 4, buy it now. So any updates or inside information you can give us about Matrix 4, the movie that's coming soon?
Yeah, lots of famous directors have come in to meet with me trying to get it. Like
mm-hmm.
I said before, that Warner Brothers offered $30 million for the script because it's going to make $6 billion. It's 3 to 4 billion fans, you know, around the world, and then Matrix is going to be in real 3D for the first time. So
wow.
In 99, that technology was never out.
Right.
So now it's finally going to be in real 3D. So we're talking about another $1 to $3 billion in real 3D, where there's quantum physics, calculus, and ancient sacred geometry jumping off the screen at the fans, which is incredible.
Wow. Yes. I'm a fan. I'm looking forward to Matrix 4. Of course, as a sci-fi writer, you are walking the footsteps of Octavia Butler, and certainly you. Most people don't know about all that you're doing and continue to do. So it's always exciting to see this.
I'm not walking in her footsteps. I came before she did. My work
came before she did. Okay.
Yeah, my work, I did that in 1980. My copyrights are 81, 83, and 84. Before
wow.
she even started writing, I was working for the studios, Columbia Pictures. I'm
yes.
from New York City. I'm a New Yorker. I was working
yes.
at Channel 13, with an Oscar Award producer, Perry Miller Adetto, and a national magazine out from New York. So I was already in the media and the newspaper before you even heard of her. I was in the media back in 1979 in the 80s, and the news coming out with the first black science fiction with our first black superheroes. So Keanu Reeves is a man of color. His father is Asian
yes.
Polynesian. He's not white. And Carrie Ann Moss, a Trinity character, Carrie Ann is from Canada. She's Canadian.
Okay.
And
now,
a lot of people don't know these facts.
The new book that you have, The Third Eye, is that part of the Matrix concept?
The Third Eye Matrix book is where the Matrix and Terminator movie franchises came from. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the Matrix and the Terminator. That book shows you exactly how I created the Terminator, the naked microchip clone cyborg Terminator, time traveling. But went to the
mm-hmm.
past to kill the woman, Sarah Connor, So Neo will not be born. Sarah Connor is Neo's mother. The Terminator End Time Revelations is the prequels to the work. The prequels mean the beginning of the epic story. So the machines, the artificial intelligence, the AI, might clone microchip, the Terminators wrapped in flesh, hear the oracle's prophecy that a baby is going to destroy them in the future when they enslave mankind. So he has to time travel to the past. This is what the Terminator is about. To kill Sarah Connor so the baby Neo will not be born. J.C., John Connor, Jesus Christ, grows up to be Neo, one and the same in the Matrix. N-E-O-O-N-E. Neo is an anagram for one.
Wow.
And Kyle Reese, he goes to from the future to the past to try to save her, and he inadvertently gets her pregnant. And that's how the baby is born. That's how the baby Neo is born.
That's amazing. I didn't know all of that.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Yeah, the Terminator and the Matrix is one epic story. Yeah, it's one epic story. The two friends, it was so much work from the book and the script that they made it into two movie franchises.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
You didn't know that the Terminator and the Matrix was one story, one epic story?
No, I didn't. As much as I'm a fan, that's the first time I've heard that. So I'm blown away.
Yeah, well, when you look at the first three, you see?
Sophia.
Somebody, yes.
You know what I'm saying? You really are an inspiration to so many young black females and males. Do you understand that?
Yes, I can hear you.
You have no idea. You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, but you have no idea, you know, what effect you have, your life is having on young black females, young women, period. Okay? Because this film was, your work was monumental. Absolutely monumental. How many series was it?
It was
eight different movies. And you wrote them
all.
Eight
different movies.
And you
yeah, because it came from my script and my book. I created special effects, graphics, logos, characters, synopsis on it, the whole nine yards. And when people buy the Third Eye Matrix, the Matrix is a Latin word for the woman's womb. It's a 7,000 year old word that comes out of the King James's Bible. Matrix is mentioned in five scriptures. Three in Exodus, two in Numbers. Anybody can Google it and look at it. It's from the Bible. So what I'm talking about is the second coming of the Christ, how he comes back and what's going on when he comes back, born of a woman. And by that time in the future, the artificial intelligence, the AI, who are the children of man, will enslave God's children. And so the Christ will have to come back, be born of a woman and come back and fight again to see the people from the enslavement.
Where did this kind of creativity come from? Did you dream it? How did it come from?
I was inspired by God. When I saw Star Wars, I was inspired by God. I saw that Star Wars was about Darth Vader, the devil. That Lucas was talking about the devil, how he fell from the light side to the dark side. That's what Darth Vader is about in Anarchy, the Antichrist and his children, and how he takes over. Star Wars are the wars in heaven, and how the war begins, and how Lucifer covers the throne of God, and that's in the Jedi, because that's what he was, a Jedi. And Michael, they covered the throne of God in the fight, the war. That's why it's called Star Wars, the wars in heaven.
But listen, go ahead.
No, that's how my story was born in me, to write the second coming of the Christ, because in the future, I was in 1980, I was playing the video game. So I'm talking about digital downloading. In 1980, I'm talking about computerized warfare with drones, where they would actually teach you in video games how to fight in war, and talking about virtual reality, the first virtual images where you see them going up and down the telephone line while their physical bodies are in the ship sleeping, the astral body. So God's children are 3D, three-dimensional beings. The astral body, the physical body, which takes anywhere from 9 months to 36 weeks, and then the soul, which is attached, which is the magnetism or vibrancy or vibrations or the energy, the magnetism, attached to the physical body. So this is what the Matrix and Terminator is about.
But, you know, I think I want to know where you got this from in your head. Do you realize how much advanced you are? Are you from another planet?
I know it's advanced work, but so was Tesla. Tesla and Leonardo da Vinci, they were doing advanced work, creators, they're polymathematician, and I'm a polymathematician because I'm talking about quantum physics and sacred ancient geometry and calculus. And that's why it's so futuristic and it scares people. But I'm talking about a wireless engine in Matrix 4 that starts up with a musical note that you guys can see it in the commercial, the 2014 Kia commercial with Morpheus in it. You actually see where they took that out of page 17 in Matrix 4 book, because the wireless engine has no carburetor, no transmission fluid, no wires. It starts up with a vibration, just like a microwave has vibrations. That's what is cooking your food, and that's where you're talking on your cell phone is because of vibrations, wireless vibrations. So I'm talking about a wireless engine while you guys are still talking and discussing the Tesla electrical car. Before that, we had the gasoline car. Before that, we had the car that ran by water. The old T Model Ford was a steam engine, and we had steam engine boats that ran by water because we didn't have any gasoline. We didn't have any gasoline. Yeah. Remember, the car was going any roads or highways, was going over the place.
That's
put some water in it, and you could find water anywhere. And then we moved up to gasoline, which kind of ruined the whole earth here. And now we're going into the electrical.
Sophia, we're gonna have to bring it to an end right now. I mean, we just wanted to touch base with you. We got some other things that we want to get into, really. But I could go on all night talking to you because you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And the visionary aspect of the Matrix obviously was recognized when it first came out, and each subsequent sequel was just as good, if not better, certainly one of the very rare movie franchises that's been able to do that, you know, where the sequels have been just as good or better than the original. But we want to thank you for giving us an update, letting us know what you've been up to. As usual, it's always been it's always a good interview. I suppose my mom wants to give you a special thank you for being on the show.
Of course, Sophia, always.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate that. And
anytime.
Let people know that you guys can look at the legal documents on my website, matrixterminator.com, for all the people who want legal documents.
Let people know.
To my website, matrixterminator.com, and they can look under the legal news and look at the legal documents. And I can send anybody the proof and the evidence of the win and the judges' awards and so forth.
Wow.
I would be happy to do that.
Great.
Terrific.
All right,
absolutely
great. Thank
terrific.
You. Thank you so much, Sophia.
Thanks,
good
Sophia.
Talking to you again. We'll catch up with you again and continue up with the updates. You take care.
Amazing.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right.
Isn't it amazing?
Bye-bye. Wow.
Yeah,
She is absolutely fantastic. I'm telling you, she's amazing.
Absolutely.
I still can't get over where the ideas for this came from. I mean, you realize that thing was tremendous in endearment, creative piece. How do you do that? Where does it come from? She's of another world. That's all.
Certainly, in the industry, that was the Matrix, and the Matrix movies were breakthrough. they were breakthrough projects, you know, in terms of just the idea and the concept. When those movies came out, I mean, they were holding it down. The Matrix was the king, you know, those movies.
Yes,
so
that's right.
And anybody who's seen The Matrix knows what we're talking about, the sensibilities in terms of just of the relationship and the images of people of color. Like I said, it expressed to me a certain amount of a sensibility that I thought was coming from these two white dudes that, you know, you don't often find in terms of the inclusiveness. And lo and behold, you find out that it wasn't, in fact, them originally who did that. So, but moving on, I want to mention a couple other things that's happening today. I mean, the biggest news the last couple hours there was your boy Paul Ryan said he's not resigning, Byron.
He's quitting.
He didn't say he's quitting. He's not resigning. He said he's just. Go ahead, Ma.
He is probably realizing the absolutely stupidity of anybody staying close to the White House at this particular point, because of the fact that we have someone who is absolutely nuts, as far as I'm concerned, and it's nothing. I can't. There are no words to describe our president, your president.
Right, right.
The president of the United States, he's a total embarrassment.
Right.
I can't
even
talk.
Ryan says he's not resigning. He said he's just not going. He's just not seeking re-election. So it's a good way to say you're
you're
not quitting.
He's backing out.
But
backing out. While he still has.
He certainly is. Will, from my perspective, probably will not be missed. But you know, he kind of helped work to force John Boehner out, and so you know, this situation that he finds him in my opinion, the situation that he finds himself in with Donald Trump, having Donald Trump as the president, you know, that's karma right there. You know, you've spent so much time trying to sabotage the presidency of the previous president. And, you know, couldn't go along with anything. I just remember going to Obama's last State of the Union address, where Paul Ryan was elected Speaker of the House during Obama's last, I guess, 2 years, and just refusing to even agree or even look like there was any bipartisan issue, any issue that he could agree with Obama on. Any statement that Obama made that there was nothing, refused. Obama made a statement like, you know, we have the best fighting force in the world, the American fighting force. And that's kind of just a cheerleading statement that every basic candidate says that's running for office. We have the best fighting force. You know, that's kind of like everybody could get along with that. Paul Ryan couldn't even crack a nod. He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't agree with nothing, refused to find any common ground with any affirmative. He's trying to agree with anything in the affirmative with Obama. I sat there and watched him. It's like, come on, man, mm-hmm. you don't agree that we got the best fighting force in the world? So, hey, it's you get your comeuppance now. Now you got Donald Trump.
He should have been got along.
And you can try to, and they can try to spit in as much as they want, lie their way out of it as much as they want, but. That's what he deserves, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think.
Yep. No, I agree, because Ryan, I never had any respect for him.
One of the things that we know as factoid, and you did bring it up, you mentioned it, Eric, is that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell engaged in treason, okay? That obstruction of Obama's administration intentionally taking an oath backing the Koch brothers' mandate from the GOP and the Tea Party, you have to go back to the history, were elements of treason and anarchy and sedition. And let's be very clear, the Mueller investigation has had both Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and Rubio and several other Republicans who got money from the Russian oligarchs in their campaign.
Mm-hmm.
this most recent campaign. Mm-hmm. So they're running and hiding because they know that the law of justice is about to drop the anvil, and their names are in some of that information that Mueller has been gathering. So there's a cowardice way out, and I'm telling you, I'm glad they're gone. They need to be gone.
Yeah. When you're in dangerous territory or uncharted territory in America, when words start getting trotted out that they haven't used in 75, 100 years, when you say sedition, he's been charged with sedition. I just hear that with a Southern accent, and I'm hearing guns crackling in the background. I'm getting a whole visual image of a Civil War battle scene somewhere. And someone said, "You, sir, I charge you with sedition." That's what you're talking. You know, just sounds so dramatic.
You're
but that's
you're accurate because the history of the history of the Civil War is this: when the Confederacy was defeated and they surrendered at Appomattox, what they did in essence was to acknowledge the authority of the federal government over the 50 states. Back then, it wasn't 50 mm-hmm. states, but the authority of the federal government over states' rights was established at Appomattox when the Confederacy resigned and surrendered. And it was Andrew Johnson, remember, who came within one vote of being impeached because he tried to bring the Confederacy back into play. Without the flag, without the Confederacy, but the way the Southern states who had seceded were allowed to come back into the Union was to swear their allegiance to the United States of America, the federal government. Mm-hmm. So what you see playing out right now in front of us is indeed the replay of the Civil War, because these red states, considering what they're trying to do and rendering the federal government under this president, by trying to render the federal government completely and totally dysfunctional and going back and reverting back to states' rights, is a replay of the Confederacy issue from the very beginning. So this is not an accident. What they're doing is really treasonous. And ultimately, we're in this vortex right now that what happens in the next couple of months will really determine if this empire can succeed.
They have a president that's in agreement with their attempts to try and take the power away from the federal government and administer more power to the states, right? So I mean, they have a president who is totally in agreement with that perspective.
He's bankrupting the federal government's treasury the same way he's bankrupted his businesses.
Yeah, okay.
Every step of the way.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Mom?
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about what Trump does. I don't even want to talk about what Trump's power does. Let's talk for a minute about the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in New York, okay?
I just want to – there's a couple other things. Okay.
The New Jersey
Performing Arts Center.
Is a wonderful building, all right? And I had just gotten some information that people of color are not necessarily in key positions down there. And I have all the respect for Shriver down there. And all respect for the entertainment, all the African American stars down there, singers, music, and so forth and so on. But I've been informed, that for some reason the community is not fully represented in the upper levels of that. Now, I may be mistaken, and if I am, I'll apologize, but I don't think so. So I'm going to be trying to find out why aren't more people of color in the upper offices down there at the Performing Arts Center? It's in Newark, folks, Newark, New Jersey. Black mayor, City Council, home of Donald Payne Sr., okay, who knew Nelson Mandela when Mandela came to New York.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I was on WIB at the time. Gary remembers.
Okay.
Wayne remembers.
Okay.
We saw Mandela.
All right.
We had questions
to
ask Mandela.
Okay.
So what I want to know a little bit more about the performing arts. That's just current news. That's Newark news. That's New Jersey news.
Okay.
Anytime we get some information, and I'm going to go on the air with it, as we do with information from all the way out in California. All right?
Great.
The last administrator they had, Stephanie Hewley, I believe was the last person of color in the executive office there. And you're right. We have this as an ongoing situation in all of our museums and our top artistic cultural organizations that are in our community. And I hear you loud and clear, Kay. It's not just happening in Newark. It happens in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I was the acting assistant director at the Louis Armstrong House Museum in Corona, Queens, New York. The executive director is actually retiring. Today is his last day. A very dear friend of mine, Michael Cogswell, who's a good old Southern white boy. But they have never had a person of color other than myself in the assistant director position. They had one other person. But basically, the optics now are becoming very clear. You have an organization of color. You're representing one of the ambassadors of our cultural nation, Louis Armstrong. They got a new $23 million visitor center in construction, and they have a vacancy that they have no person of color as an African American in an executive position.
Now, where is
so
that?
So it's not just that's right. This is the Louis Armstrong House Museum in Corona, Queens, New York.
Wow.
Okay, so it's not just happening in JPAT, and I understand because I've been following this. There's the Harriet Beecher Stowe House up in Connecticut that is currently looking for executive director. You know, I'll tell you this because I have a very close affinity to this because in the city of New York, of all of the historic houses, I've run 2.5 of them. 2.5. There's only been one other person of color who has run as an executive director of a historic house, and that was in Weeksville.
Wait a minute, Byron.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Back up. You were doing what?
Yes.
I was
the executive director.
Tell us about it. You mean to tell me all of a sudden you've been on K-Town's a lot and you've been keeping your information about you to yourself?
Well,
you ain't talking.
I know the history. I do know the history because I've been the part of the history. So I'm not just whistling Dixie, as they say.
I just thought you were a nerdy person. That's it. I just thought you were
the nerdy professor. Well, I actually learned a new phraseology for black nerds.
What?
Blurds. They're called blurds. I didn't know that until a couple weeks ago.
We don't even have to pay for sources.
But I do understand what you're saying about JPAC, and it is something we need to be very concerned with.
What about the state of black movies, the black theater, and black movies? Eric, you take that. Hello.
Yeah.
Are you there?
About the state of it, I guess the state is doing okay of it. You went to see a movie the other day. Did you like the movie? How about telling people about the movie
Black
you went to see the other day?
The which movie? The
Tyler Perry movie. The Tyler Perry movie.
I love that. Anything Anything that Tyler Perry does, I like. He's a natural. He makes you laugh. His genre is fine with me. Okay? He is witty. He is wonderful. Fine. I have absolutely no problem.
We've got about another just under 10 minutes left. I just want to get back to some other broad news of the day since the last time we were on the week. Last week, I want to talk about two other hot topics in the news. A, Trump's lawyer getting his house raided in a fashion that was not really described correctly by the president. He made it sound like they broke in, and actual quotes from his lawyer, Michael Cohen, said that the FBI was very very polite when they came into his house, and they were very professional, and they obviously number wants the FBI to come, but it's just another example of the president lying. And if you listen to some of the political news, they're saying that Trump is really at his wit's end in terms of his lawyer getting his house raided, which I think is kind of funny. I don't know about you, Byron, if what you think about that, but Michael Cohen tried to be that tough talking lawyer, you know, if you saw him on a couple of interviews, and now, you know, they all change, you know, it's kind of similar to Paul Ryan. They all change their tune when everybody starts finding out what's really going on with these people.
The effort to engage that Southern strategy that was part of the history of this country, they tried to re-engage it, and you have to go after the people who have the money. You know, the politicians these days are paid for by the oligarchs. You had that situation with the Sinclair News a couple weeks ago, really just showing just how far the Fifth Estate has been paid for and bought for by the aristocracy of this country. And if we the people are going to stand up, it's good that Cohen and all these other bad boys who have been protecting the offshore account. What did Malcolm say? When chickens come home to roost.
You want to know what should happen?
What's that?
What's going to happen, Ma?
I'm appealing to all the women in Trump's background to stand up and be counted. Okay?
Ooh.
Stand up and be counted, women. Stand up
That's right.
and be counted. Okay?
I hope Melania has a good attorney.
Just stand up and be counted. The few women who are storming and the others, stand up. Trump's a payday. Use him the way he used you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do, and that's good advice to them, because that's all his whole bid for the presidency was exactly that, one big payday. You know, the last thing I got listed on our description – the last thing I have listed on our description for tonight's show was also about Facebook being in trouble. And for me, I just find it funny that in the Internet, that we think that anything that we enter on the Internet or any new inventions that come out where your stuff is over can travel over some wires or some, you know, can travel through the hyperspace or the digital world, why we automatically think that's going to be safe. You know, if it's not physically in your hand, it's like having your ID, right? Or having your wallet. People tell you to hold on to your wallet, don't lose your wallet. Because you lose your wallet, it goes out into the world, somebody finds it, anything can happen. So if you can't see the Internet, see the digital trail, travel down that digital trail with your information, what makes you think that it's not vulnerable to something happening? It's like years ago, you know, I told my sister and whoever that had these built-in cameras on there, one of my sister's boyfriends, I told him, you know, he asked me, he had a Mac 2, asked me why I had my camera covered up. I was like, because I could see you, man. And a couple of years later, because I had heard read an early report about that. And years later, he started hearing about it too. So, you know, why do we think that, why is it surprising that information freely given to someone that says, here's a service for you, I'll do all this stuff and make this available for you to keep your digital page. Why do we think that that person is not using that, is not presenting a free service to you for some reason to get paid, to find some reason to get paid? Well, the whole kind of furor over Facebook and their data being breached to me is kind of funny because, you know, J. Edgar Hoover was doing that years ago, getting access to people's data. AT&T phone company, right? I mean, they have access to people's data. So I just got
notified today by the Facebook police.
You wanted the 87 million?
I got notified today that I'm on a 24-hour restriction. And they restricted me because I posted a satirical comment about the two black women who have been supporting Trump. You know, the two sisters who get up there.
The two crazy black women.
So the same two. And then, so I posted a comment saying that these two women from Spooks R Us belong to the Coon and the Gang crew. They censored me for 24 hours.
who censored you?
Facebook. I got a notice from Facebook today. No,
really?
I am serious. Yeah. I don't do porno. I don't cuss nobody out. You know, I do history, okay? I do social, political commentary. I got a notice from Facebook this afternoon saying that I'm on a 24-hour, I can't post nothing on none of my pages because of that comment.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, Facebook.
Is that legal?
I mean,
yeah.
Legal. Facebook, they do whatever they want. They're providing the service. That's the whole thing.
What
people were talking about years ago. Well, it's providing these people with their pictures and things like that. You know, as a performer, I always looked at it as a tool. It's a marketing tool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
And it's also a nice way to for family members that live in different parts of the country and old friends, and you can reconnect. And all of that stuff is really nice. But the bottom line, people, I think, forget about that is that should that thing go away tomorrow, right? Like you said, you've been suspended.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of your stuff that you do on a normal daily basis as part of your profile, your business, the business of you, your social media presence, all of that stuff comes to a halt.
Comes to a halt.
They're
That's
suspending
right.
you. And
yeah.
Facebook has replaced people's ability to get their own website, get their own domain.
Right.
That's what that's about, right? Because you get your own
right.
website,
that's
your own
exactly
domain
right.
name. You got to drive people to your site. But Facebook is one thing, everything under one big tent. They say you could come into our big convention center. You can set up your little booth, share everybody whatever you got, sit in your corner. You can go visit other people. But then when we say you got to go, you got to go. And that's really what it is. And if they decide to shut you down, what are you going to do? You're off Facebook. You can't find out
Cory
what's going
Booker,
on. There's other. Go ahead.
Today, Senator Cory Booker excoriated, yesterday I think it was, the Facebook proprietor, Zuckerberg, because he said, and what the black politicians have been saying, he said, listen, you all allowed the infiltration of Facebook to be persuade African Americans not to participate in the swing states, and the election was perverted because of that. That's the collusion
what?
That nobody wants to talk about.
What?
That's right. The 1%.
Yeah.
The 1%.
So they're
I know
telling
we got
all
a short
free
time.
And speech, are they?
Yeah.
So we got to go because this is a whole big conversation that we should continue
whoa,
next week. We got
whoa,
a minute
whoa.
Left. We got a minute left for the show.
Yes.
I'm just going to say this before we go. People shouldn't read and believe everything they see on the Internet, on Facebook. And unfortunately,
that's
people
right.
do. That's how they get their information on the Internet.
Yeah.
You know, when stuff sounds so outlandish and so unbelievable, even about your enemies, you got to, like
yeah.
Ronald Reagan said, don't mean to quote him, but trust but verify. So we got to go. I want to say thank you to our brother Byron Saunders for being on and being the co-host again this evening.
Thanks,
always
Byron.
Always a pleasure,
thanks.
My friend. Peace and love always.
All right. Talk to you soon. Talk to you next week, Byron.
All right.
I want to
God
say
bless.
Thank you. All right. Take care, brother. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the K Thompson Live Show. This has been K Thompson
and
Live coming on every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. I'm the son of Citizen Payne, and you come. Go ahead, Ma. Say it all. Wrap it up. Go ahead. Tell everybody what
we're
doing.
K. Thompson Payne every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. We will not be still and quiet. We're going to tell it like it is, and it's going to be positively black.
Okay. Thank you. There it is, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.